Oh, that's right. Hey, I am live here at the Inn on the Square, looking beautiful, I might say, here at the Inn on the Square. We're right here in the entrance, and we have Jim Medford sitting here just enjoying this day. He's been so excited about it because it's Masters Week and Masters Chef Week here, and today over there at the technical
Frank Russell
Technology Center, they've been having a cook-off. And I am so blessed here to be surrounded by legends. That's right, legends, folks. You know, coming up in May will be the Symetra Tour. But with the Masters Week here, some legends came to town to help promote Masters Week. And we're going to talk to them. I have Raren Cindy Rarick here with me today. How are you doing, Cindy?
Great, Anne. How are you today?
I'm good. Gosh, you're looking good.
Feeling great.
Yeah. You know, I went back through and looked at our interview from 2014, the first year you were here, and we talked about Oil of Olay.
That's right.
And you were promoting Oil of Olay.
Actually, Jan and I both had a contract with them, and it was fabulous. P&G, but that particular product, Oil of Olay, and you know, skincare, and we're all about it, being out in the weather as we are, and
sure.
We have been for years and years and years, and we know how damaging the sun can be to our skin and how important it is to try to keep everything moisturized and protected. But anyway, yeah, that was obvious, you know, it was neat that you noticed that.
Yeah, that was, we talked a lot about that. So, I understand that you think it's very important, and one of the things you like to promote is taking care of yourself.
Yes.
Why is that so important in today's world?
Well, I just think, you know, the better you feel, the better quality of life you have. Because really, being wealthy is all about being healthy, in my opinion. You know, if you have a lot of money and you're not healthy, it doesn't make any difference. And so I just believe that eating right, exercising right, you know, just anything that promotes positive, good health, and a lot of that is diet, nutrition, just a lot of things, a lot of elements encompass good health. But I'm a firm believer in it because, yeah, there's so much of life to enjoy. We get so many blessings every single day from morning till we put our head down on the pillow. So it's just nice to be able to enjoy all that.
Absolutely. And you are, of course, a legend golfer. You're also an LPGA golfer. And how has it been being on the LPG and then on the legend circuit?
I'll tell you, I am so thankful that I chose golf as a profession. And
what was the other choice?
Well, there was a lot of other options. Well, at one point when I was a little girl, you know, every little girl wants to be an actress and go to Hollywood or be a dancer or, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah, and, I saw some of that dancing on YouTube that you did for the Woodstock,
and singing.
I think it was. Yes, dancing and singing.
Well, you know, music is a part of life, too.
The boy from Ipanema.
You were there. Yes, that was the song.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, my.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that was great.
But, no, being an LPGA golfer, and I've done it, you know, for my career, playing the extended period of time, 25 years out there, and now almost 10 years out here, it's just, you know, you meet fantastic people, first and foremost. You travel the world. You've got a great office. And secondly, you get to compete. And, you know, my passion is the sport. I mean, you always are trying to improve as a player. And it just gives you that arena to do that. But the era that I played and the people that I played against and with Jan Stevenson, Beth Daniel, Patty Sheehan, all those gals, I mean, I am so thankful for that. And now playing on the Legends Tour, we are a tighter-knit family. Before, it was, you know, really about competition. We're all pretty young and just kind of like, whoa, everybody's after each other. But now it's like, hey, how are you? You know, we don't see each other that often and we're rooting for each other because we all know the kind of life that we've all led and the sacrifices that we've made or the extra efforts that we've all done to kind of help promote this sport. But the sport, that the common denominator is that we love this game.
I know. And I also remember it was you were one of the original ones that got the Legends Tour here with Jim Medford for the Symetra Tour. You all met down there at the
PGA show in Orlando, Florida. Yes, a few years ago. And it was a great meeting. And I'm very thankful for that because Jim and Denise have been unbelievably supportive of golf in general, but especially women's golf, junior golf. And it's just completely impressive what they're doing, not only for for the golfers, but also for the community here. It's, you know, Jan and I have been fortunate to come to Greenwood now at least three times, and might be my fourth, and you know, just seeing what he's doing and how much the city and the whole area appreciate all that you and Denise are doing, it's really, it's got to be gratifying to you, but it's really pleasing to see how passionate you are about your people and your community and about golf.
Absolutely.
So, that's a fact.
Hey, you know what? If you hadn't run into Cindy down there at the Legends with at the PGA show, right, we might not have a Legends.
We would not have. I would have not even thought about that, quite frankly. It was a divine intervention.
Well, absolutely. And this is where I believe there are no coincidences. Right. I mean, I think there's a man with a plan, and this was all part of it, and I think that we're going to have a lot of good things going on here in Greenwood for a long time to come, and hopefully it's all together, but I know we'll be friends for life.
Amen. Thank you.
That is so awesome. Well, Cindy, pass that mic over there to Jan. Jan Stevenson, you are a legend, a true legend. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. You know, that was nice to hear all those things that Cindy said, and you know, that's what's so great, because you know what, when you're a superstar and you're playing full-time on the tour, you know, you kind of take a lot of it for granted, but then once you lose those big contracts and you're not on TV all the time, the people that hang in there and really support you, you appreciate them more, and that's why, you know, we've actually become close friends with a lot of the people, the girls from the tour, after we've left. You know, you are fighting every inch of the way when you're playing full-time on the tour.
Clawing, isn't it? More like clawing.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, and then, you know, you get so used to being entitled. You know, the same as on both PGA and the LPGA, the current players. And when you have someone like Denise and Jim that take the future, you know, the future tour, the Sumatra tour, and the girls that have passed, like us, and you support us, you know, we truly appreciate it. And it's nice to see that. And the same thing with the Sumatra tour. The girls remind me of us when we were starting the tour, and we are now. But we're, you know, you kind of have to save, and you have to be together, and you can't afford the things that when you're playing on the full-time tour, these Sumatra girls get it. They know how hard it is, and you see them, you know, sometimes pulling their own bag and handling their own luggage, and go, well, we've been there. And it's nice to see people support that.
Well, Jim, you know, since you are a legend, what do you think is the future of women's golf?
Well, there's no question that it's, you know, we saw the juniors yesterday and how great they were coming here for the Peggy Cook Bell, and it was lovely. And then you watch the drive chip and putt on TV, and you see those kids coming up. And so it's lovely to see. I mean, it's changed drastically, golf, because it is, you know, with the younger generation, it's you know, it's instantly gratifying. But it's wonderful because they can improve so quickly, because they do have all the visual improvements with the videos and your cameras and your phones, and so it's a lot easier to become better. But it's still a tough business. But the golf business, I think, is in good shape when you look at the juniors.
What do you think about the future with the young golfers? Do you think that we are getting enough of them interested for the future?
Well, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to compete with all the other things that they're distractions that the younger people know. You know, to get out and take 5 hours to play a round and work so hard on your game, because golf is such a difficult game, that it's hard for people to push them to that, because it's expensive too. You know, when they can do things so quickly that I hope that we can continue. I know with the PGA and with the LPGA, they're trying to, you know, get golf to go faster and try to make it more fun and take away a lot of the stuffy rules, but still keep it a classy game. So I think we're on the right track.
Absolutely. Well, I gotta know, how did you get into the wine business?
Well, both of us have been in the wine business, and, you know, we had a cellar club when we played on tour, and I really didn't, you know, it was always a joke that I would bring a box wine because I really wasn't into wine. And then, you know, I went to Australia, and actually...
That, or you like to drink a lot of it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's, okay. Yeah.
And actually now in Australia, we have really good box wine. It's actually kind of funny because, you know, we started with the screw top caps for wine, and they all were horrified, and now pretty much everybody does it. And the same thing with box wine. I mean, box wine in Australia is very popular because we believe in being green. And, you know, by the time everything gets to Australia, if it's, you know, you'd never know if you had good oak barrels or good cork. So we kind of developed the cardboard because we knew that was going to be good. But anyway, that's another story. But it's it was something that I really wasn't that interested. I did a sommelier course in Australia, and then I suddenly got into it. And then my late fiancé was really into wine, and he wanted to do this. And so we started it, and then unfortunately he had a blood clot go to his lung and pass away. So I felt like this was his legacy to continue it. So, you know, I bought a small vineyard in California and got started.
And I understand that you actually, in the beginning, I don't know if you're doing it now, but you actually helped pick the grapes and all this kind of stuff. You were right there helping, and you brought in some people from Australia, didn't you?
Well, my winemaker, yes, he's Australian, and he was actually winemaker of the year 4 out of 5 years, and so he renovated the vineyards, and he didn't want me just to put my name on it. He said, you know, you need to learn the business. So he made me go out and learn pruning, and then I come out for harvest, and then now I actually participated in both the blending of my new white and my Bordeaux blend. So that was kind of fun. And you know, they had a lot of jokes with me because I didn't know that you're supposed to spit before it's really fermented and you get brutal diarrhea, and I didn't know that till And they thought it was really funny because they, like, you know, they didn't tell me to spit when it was fermenting, and I was very sick for a few days. So now it's a big joke, but I know to do that now.
So but anybody that is trying this wine before it has fermented, please spit.
Exactly. Yes. You think it tastes fine, but it's really too raw.
Really too raw. How about that? Well, that's very interesting. So you have brought wines, I understand, to the dinner that is going to be had tomorrow night right here at the Inn on the Square.
Well, actually, Jim and Denise actually purchased the wine, so they trusted me to buy the wine and provide it for the fancy dinner, which was really nice. We'll do a wine tasting of the 4 wines, and Cindy's going to help because she actually is really, really knowledgeable about wine. And so we'll do wine tasting, and everybody can then hopefully would like to buy some. So we're going to have some available to buy as well.
Jim, did you have to purchase this wine, or is it on consignment?
Both, Ann. actually, we had to, because we needed to get a distributor established here in South Carolina. So Jan, we collaborated to find the right distributor, and then a license had to be done by Jan's part to ship it.
Okay.
And then there's a minimum shipment requirement, which involves buying a pallet of
yes,
wine.
Yes, it's a lot of wine.
Yeah.
It's a lot
so of wine. You bought a lot of wine.
Yeah, so I'm now walking around with my Jan Stevens wine statue
over me. It's amazing how you can cooperate people to help you do something, Jan. That is good marketing.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, the wine business is a hard business. It's very difficult to break in when you're small. And we need people like Jim to help me, and I certainly am really fortunate.
But we have 4 big events between tomorrow, and then we have the Capsugel outing, we have the Piedmont Tech, and then we have the Symetra event. So Jan's going to be here for all of those, so we're going to be...
So you made that deal if you bought the wine.
Yes, I commit to be there.
I already booked that deal, and then the wine came as a dinner.
I'm just checking how this all comes together.
Yeah, let's just kind of slide together somehow.
Okay. Well, Jim made the mistake last year. He said, oh, I'd love to have your wine. And I went, okay, I'll follow up on that.
It was just a little passing comment on his part.
Yeah, exactly.
The wine, not the palate.
Well, you know, that goes along with Jim Medford's go big or go home.
Exactly.
Right? And you definitely believe in going big, Jim Medford.
Yeah, and soon I'll be going home.
And because of that, he said he soon will be going home. Well, we are having a blast right here at the Inn on the Square with Jan Stevenson and Cindy Rarick. They are going to talk some more. Let me tell you, I've done some research, folks. You know me. I like to be prepared. So you stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. We'll be right back. And Andy, when we come back, the first thing I want you to play is a little Jan Stevenson back from 1982 where she did a Kentucky Fried commercial with her dad. And that'll be the intro to the show. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
I do one thing, and I work hard to be the best at it.
That's why I think my daughter's the greatest.
He's my daddy as well as my caddy. He says if you concentrate on being your best, you will be. Just like Kentucky Fried Chicken. They concentrate on making delicious fried chicken. Tender, juicy, really special. When you have chicken the Colonel's way,
it's as great as...
As great as my daddy is at bragging about me.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, we do chicken right.
Oh, that's right. So what do you think? You just heard a commercial by Jan Stevenson for Kentucky Fried Chicken back from 1982. Anybody remember it? Well, Jan, you got to tell us the story behind this, how the experience was of doing a commercial, and that was your dad.
That was my dad. He caddied for me when I won two of my majors, and we had just actually won two. That's when we got asked to do the commercial. And 1981, I won the Demare, and 1982, I won the LPGA Championship. So they came on and said, we'd like, you know, it was pretty famous with my father caddying. So it was really fun because, you know, we were really excited. And actually, my father was going to do the commercial. And because he was so great, he always told fun stories. And he was really, when he had a couple of beers, he was really fun. So when we met with the production company the night before, he was drinking and telling all these stories. And so they said, we're rewriting the script. Your father's going to do all the talking. And I went, that's fine. Well, the next morning, he got so nervous that he choked under pressure and couldn't talk. And they're like, what happened to the man last night? I said, that was the beer talking. So then we had to go back to the original script, which was pretty funny. And then they had to cut because they wanted me to sound Southern. An American accent, so we had to really practice because it was hard for me back then to be, you know, really American, especially with my father around. So we were laughing how we had to practice rolling our R's during lunch to get the R's right.
Very interesting. You know, you really have been what I'm going to say a commercial success. Getting your name out there, doing all the things you've done. I mean, we talked about the bathtub with the golf balls and all these type of things. But when you look at the things that you've been involved in and done, it's really been awesome, the things that you have accomplished. I mean, even though I know this probably isn't one of your biggest success stories, Dancing with the Stars in Australia.
Yeah, and you know what? I did that for my mom because she was a professional dancer and I never danced. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, my mother wanted me to be a dancer and my father wanted me to be an athlete. So when my father said, no, she's got to practice golf too much. And so it broke my mother's heart that I chose golf over dancing. And so after my father passed away, my mother's like, you still haven't learned to dance. And so I, at the time, didn't know. I didn't dance at all, any kind of dance.
Right.
And so I had decided I was going to go back to Australia and be a politician. I've done everything else. I figured I'm ready to be the prime minister. And so they said, well, you're going to have to let everybody know that you're coming back home to Australia. So we're going to put you on some TV shows. I'm like, oh, no problem. Then they called and said, okay, go down to the Channel 7 and interview. And I'm like, well, what show am I interviewing for? And they went, Dancing with the Stars. And I'm like, I don't know how to dance. And they went, don't worry about that. And so that's how it started. And when I went in there and met with them and I signed the contract, but it was most nerve-wracking because I really didn't know how to dance. And I remember we trained and practiced, and then and they go, well, you can handle the pressure. So I remember standing on the stairs because my first number was a Viennese waltz, and I'm like, I've got this. And I was shaking so bad, and I was ready to step down with my left foot, and my dance partner said, right foot, and I'm like, oh shit. I didn't even get my first step started. I was that scared. I was on the wrong foot, and it was like, I'm not going to do well at this.
Well, I thought it was really interesting because I guess it was in the third show that you finished up. You did the, I did see you doing the samba, I believe mm-hmm. it was. And I loved your comment, though, while you're standing there and they're saying, well, you know, you're not going to be coming back, Jan, blah, blah, blah. And you go, I really hate that because I was really good in the next routine.
Well, you know, exactly, because you actually have to practice too at the one you're going to do that week, and then the following week you got to be ready because you got to try your outfits on and you got to be ready. So I was figuring that seeing I was bringing Olivia Newton-John to be at that show, to and the money was actually the money you make for it goes to whatever charity, and I was doing Olivia Newton-John's charity, so she was coming on, so I figured I wouldn't have to worry about votes because I had pulled getting Olivia Newton-John there, so they would never kick me off when she was there to vote. So I figured, oh, well, I won't worry about pushing for this one because you have to campaign in Australia for everybody to vote. And I'm like, oh, I got this one covered. So I was working really hard for the next week. So I was in shock that I got kicked off. I'm like, no, you can't do that yet. I'm ready for next week.
But I thought it was such so cool. I
know.
Anyway, so that was a lot of fun. So, Cindy. I gotta ask you, how did a girl from Minnesota get all the way to Hawaii to go to college?
Well, very, very lucky, first of all, to have gotten there. But I was born in Minnesota. When I was 10, my dad moved our family to Tucson, started playing golf at 15, improved quickly, and I wrote to a few schools. And I wrote to Hawaii, but never heard anything back, you know, for months and months. And I thought, because I'd heard back from Florida and another school in California, and those were going to be, you know, smaller schools, maybe partial scholarships, because my mom, of course, was hoping that I'd get a scholarship because my father just passed away, and that was kind of the goal, to get an education with a scholarship. And anyway, it was amazing because in the February of my senior year, I came home from school, and there was a manila envelope that came from the University of Hawaii. And meanwhile, I had never met the coach, talked to the coach for Hawaii or anything. And here came a letter of intent and scholarship agreement, and I just about flipped because I'm like, is this real? I thought it was maybe a joke, but it was real, and it was a fabulous, fabulous time of my life, and I still love the state of Hawaii very much, very passionate about it. I represent the Waikoloa Beach Resort on the Big Island on the Kona Coast, and I have the fortunate experience of going there at least twice a year, and Jan and I go over there once a year to go and do clinics, and February is usually the month that we choose. It's sometime in the January, February, March time
when
frame.
It's bad everywhere else.
Where it's bad everywhere else, we go there, and it's always a great time. But no, Jan and I have gotten into some other pursuits, which one of is the Jan and Cindy Golf Clinics, and so they're golf clinics and golf schools that we're doing together, and we do several in Hawaii because she has representation from Mauna Kea Beach Resort, which is also on the Big Island. So we've, and with my history in Hawaii, next year we're going to expand our clinics to the other islands. We've already got some people very interested in wanting us to come and give clinics to their members and stuff like that. So we've got a lot of fun things in store for us in the next couple of years for sure.
And I guess wine would still be in the future.
You know, there's one beautiful thing about playing golf and wine and just enjoying life. It's all about a lifestyle, and they all fit together. And it was even like today when we were at the Culinary Institute, the Technical College, doing this chef judging. It all goes together, you know. It's just all about enjoying life. So yeah, it's all good.
Now, tell me about the judging. Tell me what was going on, because I didn't get over there, because all of a sudden I said, you have the opportunity to interview Jan Stevens and Cindy Rarick today, so be ready. So how
there was
it
at 8 o'clock this morning?
Well, it was awesome. There were five of us judges for each the entree, and also five of us for the appetizers. And we started with the entree because they had to make a decision because there's going to be this big dinner here tomorrow at the Inn on the Square.
Correct.
And whoever the chef is that was going to win the competition needed to be able to order their protein, whatever that was going to be.
Sure.
Whether it was going to be the steak or, you know, the chickens, whatever. Because there's going to be a lot of people here tomorrow night. So all of you listening out there, come on down. It's going to be fun.
And you'll the food's fabulous.
The food's going to be fabulous. The wine's going to be great. You're going to meet Jan, and she'll sign an autographed bottle.
And Rarick.
I'm her sidekick now. So, but come on down for a good time. But no, it was a real blast. And there's so many great chefs in this town, and the students that were there helping.
So what's the protein for tomorrow?
Well, it will be beef.
It will be beef. Okay. All right. And can you tell us who won?
We can.
Okay.
Can
who
we?
Won?
Well, maybe we can't. They might be announcing it tomorrow night.
The entree was Wesley Commons.
Wesley Commons.
Yes.
That's right. So how about that? What kind of
Jeff,
beef is it?
Chef Jeff.
Filet.
Chef Jeff Ryan.
Okay.
Yes. Amazing.
And the appetizer, the chef from here, the Inn on the Square.
David Epps.
And what did David cook?
The appetizer?
Yes.
It was a marvelous quinoa salad with smoked quail.
Ooh, smoked quail.
It was really good.
And really good.
What was the little and a salad. Candied pecans with blue cheese and a balsamic reduction on the side.
It was really
and
good.
It was marvelous.
I guess it was hard to judge today.
Oh my gosh. Let me tell you, there were some flavors that were going on inside. I mean, it was marvelous, but it was a tough call, but that really stood out, and it stood out to all five judges. And so I'm sure they're going to be very proud not only to be hosting this event tomorrow night, but having their chef having won the appetizer competition part of it.
And desserts has not been determined
right,
yet.
And desserts was the last one that was right. coming up at 4 o'clock, and you all had to bow out so you could be here to interview this afternoon.
Yes.
So the dessert will be a surprise.
Yes.
Still a mystery.
That is so awesome. Well, it's been, there's a lot of good stuff still to talk about. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. I got Jan Stevenson on the hot seat next. Just you wait.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe Cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We are right here at the Inn on the Square. I have in attendance with me this afternoon. I have Cindy Rarick, right here with us. I've got Jan Stevenson. Let's see, what was that phrase? The Marilyn Monroe of the Fairways, right here with us this afternoon. But, you know, really, what we have seen through the years in golf is incredible strides made because both of you gals put yourselves out there to do things and become images of golf. And I think that is terrific. And sometimes we lose all that when we get so much fun talking about, you know, the bathtub for Jan and things like that. But really, you put yourselves out there. You were able to make it at a time when it wasn't easy. Today, these girls are making it in golf because of the trailblazers like you and you. So it's terrific. But one of the things that I think is very interesting, Jan Stevenson, 2017, most beautiful woman in golf. That's pretty awesome.
Well,
that was really a nice compliment that they could say that
after, you know, this many years, because gosh, those calendars were done, you know, back in the late 70s and early 80s, and that's a long time ago. So that was really nice that they even wanted to at least acknowledge that, you know, that I was one of them, one of those days a long time ago. I mean, I'm so jealous of Cindy, because when she does yoga, when we do yoga, she's in these amazing poses. And it's hard. It's hard to keep it up when you travel so much and do what we do.
Oh, that just blew Jim away.
We definitely got a lifetime partnership. All right.
There you go. All right.
Let's get that done. Put a fork in there.
Okay. Yeah. Think of that thought.
Yeah. All right. Jim's over here in the gallery.
Yeah, I know. When we're
he's in the gallery.
Exactly. We're in Hawaii, and you know, we do yoga on the beach there. It's really fun, and it does. It's a lot of sacrifice and work to keep all of it up. That's right.
And I saw the video on YouTube. It was really nice. Really, really nice. Talking about being an older woman and how it is to keep things together and keep going forward and all this stuff. It was a nice video.
Thanks.
But I also came across something that I thought was really interesting, Jan. You and Donald Trump.
Oh, I know. You know what? Very few people even remember that, but because it was so long ago. And the only reason it started coming up is that I'm writing a book and they're doing a movie. And so when we're going through all the history of things, the research came up that, you know, Donald and I had spent quite a bit of time together, because when this all started in the 70s, you know, the new commissioner had come on board and from the NHL, he was a marketing director, and he goes, we have to change the image of the LPGA and really get it out there. And he wanted to make it someone that had won a golf tournament, so they couldn't just say it was, you know, because, you know, someone that was just attractive or... Yeah, like, Yeah, so I had just won a golf tournament. Nobody knew who I was. I'd come from Australia. So you go, this is perfect, the perfect image. She's already won. And in those days, it was hard because you didn't have, you know, I remember getting, I'd get a telex in my, when I get back to the hotel, having called the commissioner in New York. It wasn't like you get a fat
back in
email.
The old days, yes.
Yeah, exactly. You forget, you didn't get a text on your phone or email. And so I'd have to check with him, you know, every two or three days, call New York and what he had planned. And he had decided that we needed to make the LPGA look glamorous. So every week I'd go to a town, he would have me set up to be with the local, to play golf in the pro-am with the top football players or baseball, depending on the season. And so when I was in New York, I was always seen with celebrities. So I got a letter from Donald Trump asking me that that he wanted to meet me, and he had a company that wanted to have me endorse their product, and would I fly to New York? And I didn't know who Donald Trump was. And so I called the commissioner, and he goes, oh my God, he's like the big shot in New York. You need to fly there and meet him. So I did. And so we started seeing each other. And he was a gentleman all the way. And he was just like he is now, very flamboyant and, you know, and big ego. But he was pretty wonderful.
He even filled a plane with roses to tempt her on a dinner date in Paris while she was playing at a U.S. tournament.
That's true. I was playing in Atlanta, and he asked me to go to dinner, and I said, he asked me to come to New York. I said, no, I can't. I've got a tea time tomorrow at 8:30 in the Pro-Am. I can't do it. And he said, well, I'll come to you. So I drove out to Peachtree DeKalb, and, you know, in those days you could drive right to your plane, and red carpet came down, and he didn't come down. And I'm like, what's going on? So the captain came out and said, you need to come inside. And the whole plane was full of roses. And there was a rose with a little envelope sitting on one seat. And I went, wow, this is pretty impressive. And then I opened it, and it was an invitation to a restaurant. I'm like, where is this restaurant? And they said, Paris. And I'm like, well, this plane won't get to Paris. They said, no, we have a plane waiting in New York. So do you want to go? And I said, no, I've got an 8:30 tea time. I can't do it. So I turned him down, and and, you know, he was, you know, he pretty much, that was the end of it after that. But, you know, I said my career comes first. And so that was it. But we stayed friends.
Yes, but he was dating
Ivana? Ivana at the time, he had said, he had just started seeing her, and he knew about it. I mean, he was very honest. He said, you know, I really want someone that's not just, everywhere we went, people would just be handing him notes and wanting to go out with him, whoever it was, waitresses and everybody. And he said, oh, you know, I want someone that's accomplished in their own way and, you know, not just a pretty face. And so he was pretty honest what he was looking for. And he said he was seeing somebody else that he said, she reminds me a lot of you. She's a great athlete. She's smart. And she's, you know, she's very ambitious. And he said, and he was very honest about it. So when he got married, you know, I was really happy for him and kind of followed up. And then when he got divorced and started seeing Marla, he brought Marla to watch me play and said, I want you to teach her golf. And, you know, I gave her a few lessons, but she was so tiny, and it was, you know, it's hard to start with someone that really, you know, that beginner. When she, but anyway, I got to know Marla pretty well, and so we always stayed friends.
That's very, very interesting. Very interesting. Can you tell us anything else about Donald that we should know here today?
Well, he loves to play golf, obviously. he's actually a pretty good golfer. You know, yeah, he's, you know, I mean, he was. I guess I can say the one thing that was kind of fun. He asked me one time, I was struggling with my career, and he's always said, you know, you got to do whatever it takes to make it. And that was something that I always believed in. And he called me one time and said, I need a little help. I've got a business deal, and I'm kind of need a little bit of extra money. And so the president of Deutsche Bank is flying in from Germany. Will you play golf with him? I said, yeah, sure. And I was like, so I flew up to Atlantic City to play, and he was going to join us after he'd finished his meeting. And I stood on the first tee, and I said to the president of Deutsche Bank, I said, so how much money is he asking for, thinking it's going to be, you know, maybe a couple of million. He said he needs 60 million. And I'm like, yeah, instead he just needs a bit of money just to get by.
Isn't that just like Donald, though?
Yeah. And so when he arrived, I said, no, wait a minute. What are you paying me for this? Because you're asking for a lot of money and I'm going to play golf for free for this. And he goes, well, how about I let you stay in my suite tonight, the suite at the hotel. I'm like, no, I think I need something a little more than that. And seeing you're getting 60 million, he said, oh, he told you, did he? And I said, yeah, I asked him. And so he said, okay, how about I owe you one? So he owed me a favor. And I called it in one day.
And he paid off. Well, you know, I think it's very interesting. When Donald was running for the presidency, what did you think about his abilities? Did you think he would be a good president?
I didn't think he'd have any shot of becoming president because of, you know, with politicians, he's certainly not a politician, and he says it the way it is, and he's, you know, what he is. He's very big and bold, but it's what America needed probably and wanted, because they voted him president, and I don't doubt that he's going to be a fabulous president, because if he sets his mind to something, and he is a great negotiator, and you know what, I think America needs that. He's a very, very smart man.
And how about compassionate? That's what people talk about, that, you know, like one-on-one type thing.
He is really amazing. I mean, I asked him for help, just like I said, I called in a favor when I needed it, and actually when I was younger, I asked for some help, and he gave it to me, and I didn't take his advice. And he's a lot warmer than people think. If you need something, he's there for you.
That's what I hear. I mean, on a personal basis, we see him at the rallies, and we see him as president and everything. Well, so those were the days, my dear.
Those were the days when it was, you know, as we go through this movie and this book, you forget half the things, just like you did with that Kentucky Fried Chicken. You forget what an incredible, lucky life I have had led, you know, all these things I've gotten to do. And a lot of people say, you know, you're ahead of your time, because if this was nowadays with reality television and Twitter and Facebook, I mean, you'd be through the roof, because even in those days, you know, you'd be standing at a grocery store reading Enquirer and the Star and going, who are they talking about? And go, oh my God, that's me. all these crazy things that look like I was doing. But I mean, obviously, I'd probably have a reality show now. I mean, it's just ahead of your time, you know. I mean, you look back now and go, wow, what would it have been like?
You know, when you were talking about the rose that he left there, and it, you know, was an invitation to the restaurant, that reminded me of The Bachelor.
They probably copied that from him.
Probably, could have been.
Yeah.
So what's the schedule for this week? What are you doing this week, Jan?
Well, actually, this is fun. I mean, I enjoyed the cook-off. We're going to play a tournament tomorrow. We're going to play a pro-am tomorrow, which will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's always nice to play, and I haven't been playing in a while. And then we're going to do my wine tasting, which I'm excited for everybody in Greenwood to try my wine. I think they're going to enjoy it. And I'm going to look forward to talking about it.
Now, you have four different wines. How many wines do you have?
I have four here tomorrow night. We have a Merlot, a Cabernet, a Chardonnay, and my new Bordeaux blend, which is really, really fabulous. It's a cross between Merlot and Cabernet and Petit Sirah and Petit Verdot. So it's really smooth.
Really smooth. And it's from California.
They're all from Paso Robles, which is a very country place, but it's kind of the new in place. You know, there's Justin and Jay Law and a lot of the smaller vineyards, and there's some really good wines coming out of there. And they didn't even realize at the time why that was happening, but it's because they couldn't figure out how it could be so hot bringing out some good wines. But it's because of that right there, there's a little turn in the mountain range, and it goes east and west, and it brings in a lot of cool air, and it chills the grapes overnight. So they get really, really rich and sweet.
That's terrific. Well, Cindy, what's on the schedule for you?
Well, I'll be doing what Jan's doing the next couple days, although yesterday I was a part of giving out Peggy Kirk Bell the certificate, the exemption, into the Symetra Tour event in May. And this was really fun to see. They had 29 gals competing, but
these are high school kids, right?
Yeah, yes. 11 to 18 years old, actually 11 to 17, considered junior golfers, and most of them were in high school. There might have been one or two eighth graders. But these gals had to qualify to be here in Greenwood. And what the exemption is into is the largest purse on the Symetra Tour, thanks to Jim Medford.
That's right.
And so these girls were thrilled not only to be here playing in this over the weekend. It was a 36-hole tournament. A 15-year-old won it from Pennsylvania. She shot 2-under the first day in some windy conditions. I believe it was windy. And yesterday was beautiful. But so that was very exciting. And then today we did the Chef's Cook-Off. And tomorrow, as Jan mentioned, we're going to be out there on the golf course where we belong.
Right.
And then we're going to be doing a dinner. And then the following day, we're going to have another big pro-am here at the Lakes at Stony Point. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then the rest of the week, Jan and I both head over to Augusta.
Oh, that's right.
Down the road to the Masters. So always a great week. So we're really thrilled to start it here in Greenwood.
Well, you know, bringing the Masters right here to Greenwood is a big part. I mean, they figure it'll be about $1 million impact on Greenwood right here. $1 million impact of what happens because people stay here. It's an hour or so away, so you can get down there easy. It's hard to get places down there, so a lot of people will be staying here. But $1 million impact. And, of course, with this Master Chef cook-off right here in Greenwood, we have to say it. Brilliance! That's yep. Right. It's an awesome program. Should probably be on the news tonight, won't it?
Yes.
Channel 7
and Fox.
And Fox. So
21 and 7, depending on what your provider
is. That's right.
Is, yeah.
So they will have it on the news if you missed it. And I'm sure I saw some of it early this morning here. And, of course, the great meal is going to be put together here by chefs right here in Greenwood. So it's an awesome opportunity. Now, Jim, where do they need to call if they'd like to get tickets for this event tomorrow?
The link's at Stony Point or right here at the Ananda Square.
Okay.
Tickets are $50 per ticket.
Okay, $50 per ticket.
That includes the dinner paired by the winning chefs, wine paired with the dinner that we're providing.
Wine paired with the dinner, okay.
And then the wine tasting.
Wine tasting.
And then wines available to purchase autographed by...
Autographed.
The legendary Jan Stevenson.
Well, all righty then. It's going to be a big night here at the Inn on the Square tomorrow night. Better call the Inn on the Square. Better call the Links. What's the number out there at the Links?
942-0900.
Give them a call. Make that reservation. $50 per person. What a bargain. What a country we live in right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Now, how's the weather supposed to be tomorrow?
Supposed to be beautiful tomorrow.
Supposed to be beautiful tomorrow.
That's why we switched to a tournament that was supposed to be going on today.
Oh, okay.
Good call by JM.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are right here. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Jan Stevenson, it certainly has been a pleasure to have you here with us this afternoon and sharing your story so graciously.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And Rare and Rarick, Cindy, it's been a lot of fun to have you here and get to talk to you again.
Thank you, Ann, as always. You're a lot of fun.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us, Andy. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood, live from the Inn on the Square in Uptown Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.